mine.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast where we will help you learn to invest in 20 minutes or less. We break down the world of investing from beginning to dividend so that you can hopefully make some returns. My name's Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by Alec Renahan. How are you going, bro?
I'm very good, Bryce. How are you?
Good, mate. Good, mate. Good to be back chatting all things stocks with you.
Yeah, it's strange to hear you use my actual name.
Yeah, no, it was just a follow-up on our last episode where I made sure that I made it clear that your real name was Alec and not Ren, and I thought for a good follow-up and reminder, I'll throw in Alec Renahan, but from here on in, it's going to be back to Ren.
Yeah, great, great.
Well, let's move on. Look, you know, as we said, Christmas is coming around very quickly, and obviously, that means the end of the year, and we are going to have a bit of a break, rest, recharge, and think about how we're going to tackle 2019 with Equity Mates. So rather than have no content come out of that at that period of time, Ren, we're going to drip feed some episodes once a week for about 5 weeks, and we've decided that the best way to do that will be to do some deep dives into some unknown random Australian companies, something that we haven't really done recently, but I think it's a great idea. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think, well, hopefully, I think, yeah, we were tossing up what we would do over Christmas. We wanted some timeless content. Do we rehash old interviews that we thought, you know, would be valuable for people who just joined the podcast, but you know, people can listen to our interviews anytime. So we figured let's find some truly random and really obscure companies, do a bit of research on them, talk through our process. That's probably more the point rather than what the companies are and what the outcomes of the research are, but just, you know, talk through the way we gather information, what we think is important. I'm sure there will be some funny companies that we end up with. It'll be really disappointing if we just end up with like Telstra, BHP, Commonwealth Bank.
That would be so boring.
Yeah. I mean those companies have been done to death. So the way that we're going to try and avoid picking the big end of town, I've got a random letter generator here. We're just going to just randomly generate ASX codes until we end up with the five companies that we're going to deep dive on.
Yeah, look, really looking forward to it, Ren. I think for me, it's going to be a great way to recap a lot of the things that we've learned over the last 12 months, particularly in terms of strategies for approaching this. You know, we've spoken to a number of investors who have different approaches, be it, you know, looking at it from a point of view of day trading through to that the deep value side of things. So how we go about researching the companies, I'm going to try and put a few different strategies, theories and practices in and see what differences come out. So I'm keen. Let's kick in. You've got a random generator.
I do.
What's our first company? Ticker, ASX.
Now, the one issue with this, I was having a play around before the show, is that there's a lot of three-letter combinations that aren't ASX codes. So just bear with us. We might have to do some selective editing. But the first company is JFS.
JFS.
Which, if we Google,
is not an ASX-listed company.
Okay. All right. VKB.
No.
Oh, no. All right. You Google, I'll generate.
Yep. All right. What do we got?
Oh, mate. The next one is QWQ.
No way.
There's no way. No, oh, there's too many combinations. All right,
okay.
Great,
can we
idea.
Limit this somehow?
Do I get... All right. Do I get rid of some letters? Like Z, V, what? W? Oh, that might be X I'll get rid of. What else is rare? Q maybe?
Yeah, go with Q.
Let's go. W-I-U. Oh, I don't reckon that's going to be one either.
W-I-U.
No, it's not.
No.
S-M-J.
Oh, this sounds good. S-M-J.
Is it?
Delisted, 2012.
L-I-M.
Oh, this sounds good.
Nah, delisted 2007.
What on earth? Okay, next.
DLL. Nah, nothing.
Nah.
Far out. All right. Maybe we need to approach this a different way.
Okay.
So, for our listeners, no time will have passed. But no. for us, a little bit of time has. We quickly realized that there are a lot of combinations of that can be made from the alphabet, and there's actually not that many companies on the ASX.
Good learning for us.
Yeah. So we're going to change our approach a little bit. Instead, we're going to... So I'm going to randomly generate two letters, and then you're going to put that into a ASX company search, like ticker search, and then what? We're just going to choose the top one on the list?
Yep.
And if this doesn't work, it'll only be an instant before you hear what try number three is. For us, it'll be a little bit longer.
Yeah, all right, hit me.
All right.
First letter. Oh, God. No, what is it?
VJ.
Oh, mate.
At least people believe it's a random. All right, next one.
So V.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I've already looked. There's nothing.
Okay, next.
Next one. OT.
OT.
I'm feeling good about this one.
Yeah, same. No.
Oh, damn it. Okay. BB. Here we go. There'll be something here.
Yes. BBN. First one is BBN. Baby Bunting Group.
Okay. L for Lima, R for Romeo.
Yes. LRS. Latin Resources Limited.
Great. All right. Next one. UX.
Oh, no.
Oh, we were on such a roll.
No. Next.
Okay. GP.
Yes. Geo-Pacific Resources. Or...
Oh, okay. Or
we've got a couple here because I'd like to not do all resources.
Sack the resources company.
Geo-Pacific Resources. We've got Green Power Energy, GPS Alliance, or GPT Group.
Let's do GPT Group. Find out what they do.
Okay, GTP. Done. Next.
L for Lima, D for Dog.
No.
Okay. D for Dog, O for Octopus.
No, yes. We've got Doremius PLC.
All right, add it in. Okay, so we've got four, is that right?
Yes, this is the lucky last.
Okay, God, these Christmas episodes are either going to be very good or very average.
Next, what's the lucky last?
QQ.
No.
Okay, next one, II.
No.
P for Peter, F for Fred.
Yes, Prime Financial, PFG.
Great. That only... Okay. That Jeez. Took way too long. Maybe give us a quick rundown of who we have, just for our listeners.
Oh, bro, I only wrote down the tickers. I didn't write down their names. So we've got BBN, LRS, GPT, DOR, and PFG. We'll leave it at that, and then when it comes to the time, we'll give a lot more information about the company.
Yeah. All right, so okay. What was meant to be a 3-minute start to the episode has turned into an editing nightmare, but...
yes, absolute shocker. Anyway, let's move on to some proper content and wrap it up nice and nicely. So, speaking of companies and, looking into them, doing a bit of research, Ren, next year is potentially a very big year for two American companies, something that you've been keeping an eye on and we have discussed on the show previously, and that is Uber and Lyft, both ride-sharing companies, have said that they will be targeting an IPO, initial public offering, sometime in 2019. Now, this is massive news because they're both incredibly large tech companies, both in Silicon Valley, both with different valuations, but both obviously in the billions. And it's going to be incredibly interesting to see how the investors, who are all in the same pool, I guess, both ride-sharing companies, are going to react to and take up these IPOs. So what we're going to do, Ren, is discuss Lyft versus Uber. Who would you choose if you were doing the IPO?
So how do you want to start this?
Should we give a bit of background into Lyft and Uber? You know, they're both private companies, and for those that are unaware, private companies don't have to give financial statements and sort of update anyone really on the financial health of their company. That's something that is mandated if you are a public company. So going into these IPOs, you know, sometimes you can be a bit blind as to actually how well these companies are performing. But as they're such massive companies and they want to get investors on board going into next year, both of them have started to release some figures on the health of their company. And we both know that they're not profitable. So let's start with that, I think, Ren. Would you think, you know, you want to start there?
Yeah. Neither of them make money.
No.
Like all good technology IPOs. I think we've said it before on the show, Uber was once labeled the world's largest wealth distribution scheme. It takes money from rich venture capitalists and gives it to the general public in the form of subsidized transport. So really the top end of town is just subsidizing your taxi fares. So that's one way to lose money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess one company that's losing money is valued at $120 billion, according to Wall Street. And another company that is also losing money is valued at $15 billion, according to those same investment banks.
Mm.
So maybe we start with how two things that are losing money can be valued so differently.
It's a good idea. Well, for me, one thing is the percentage that they have in terms of market share in the ride sharing space, and also the number of different offshoots they have that is not just ride share but other sorts of businesses. So we know that Uber, for example, has Uber Eats, and it's now looking at going into freight booking, and it's doing scooters and bikes, all in the ride-sharing space as well. And it's also aggressively expanding internationally. Well, it had planned to. I think now that the new CEO has come in, they've chilled on that a bit to sort of save the large capital outlay that it takes to do large international expansion. So US ride-share revenue for Uber was about 70%, I think, and market share for Lyft is about 30%. So that's one reason that I think there's a massive difference in valuation. Would you agree, Ren?
Yeah, 100%. So Uber is valued at $120 billion, and you mentioned Uber Eats. They estimate that Uber Eats alone as a company would be worth $20 billion. So they're actually saying that Uber Eats as a company itself is worth more than Lyft, which is pretty fascinating when you think about it. But it makes sense. You go to restaurants these days and you see Uber Eats bags everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. But as part of looking at this episode, I sort of went back a few years and put together their last 5 years of revenue, because neither of them are making a profit. So it's not, I mean, you can look at earnings, and they don't really report earnings, but they are reporting revenue. So to give you an idea of the difference, in 2014, Uber made $495 million in revenue and Lyft made $130 million. In 2015, Uber went to $1.5 billion and Lyft to $200 million. 2016, Uber went to $6.5 billion, Lyft to $700 million. 2017, Uber to $7.8 billion and Lyft just cracked a billion in 2017. And in the first half of 2018, Uber did $5.5 billion and Lyft did $900 million. So the respective compounding annual growth rates of the company, Uber is compounding at about 18% a year and Lyft is compounding at about 70% a year. So Uber started at a much higher base and is at a much higher number now. They expect it to do 10 or 11 billion in revenue this year in 2018. But Lyft, they expect to do 1.8 billion, but it is growing at a much faster rate. So I guess when you think about investing in them, it's really, do you want the big established, you know, market leader, which is Uber, which is growing a little bit slower, or do you want the young upstart nipping at its heels that is growing at 70%?
It's a good question, and what first comes to mind for me, I think, is what is the cost for Lyft to have to have, what outlay are they doing at the moment? What's their cost, like customer acquisition cost and that sort of stuff, marketing costs that are allowing them to grow at such hefty rates? Because I'm sure it's not going to be sustainable for that for a long period of time, those rates. And obviously they're taking away market share from Uber, or I'm assuming that's what's happening, but surely it's costing them a lot of money to do so. And I would be interested to see what that cost really is.
So you're saying you would prefer to invest in Uber?
No, I'm not making a preference right now. I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that if they're growing at such extraordinary rates, and Uber wouldn't just be sitting back letting this happen, they'd also be throwing large amounts of cash at marketing and product development and all that sort of stuff. I'm interested to know, you know, how long they can sustain this growth rate for and how much it's costing them, because I'm sure it's costing them a lot of money.
Yeah, so unfortunately, there's not a huge amount of reporting on how much they are spending and where they're spending it and stuff like that. We'll start to get it probably at the start of next year, because in the lead up to their IPO, they're probably going to start doing quarterly reporting, at least to journalists. So, you know, there's a bit more information and people can make decisions around IPOs.
I just think it's interesting that, and I mentioned it before, the difference in their approach of expansion. Lyft is limited primarily to the US and has a couple of cities in Canada, whereas Uber operates internationally, and you know they're trying to expand across a lot of countries. So that's just something else to consider.
So with that though, like Uber sold their China operations and I think they sold a bunch of other international operations that weren't doing too well. So, you know, maybe they're, you know, taking a step back, consolidating a little bit more.
Yeah, well, we know the value of niche markets and focusing your efforts on one market, making them very pleased before going hard elsewhere. So who knows, Uber might have gone too hard too early. But all right, Ren, so hit us up. What's your preference? Who's it going to be?
Do you want to go first?
I honestly haven't made up my mind.
Oh, interesting. I mean, that was the premise of this episode.
I know. But look, to be honest, we are going to have the opportunity to buy into it, hopefully through stake or whoever. But I think I wouldn't be buying in straight away in either of them. I think I'd be waiting to see how it all plays out. However, given market share, given revenue, not particularly revenue growth, but given revenue, given brand name, and given the fact that it has a business on its own that is valued at more than Lyft itself, which worst case scenario could be sold off, I would be investing in Uber.
Fair enough. I thought you would say that.
Here comes Mr. Contrarian.
I am gonna buck the trend.
Cab charge.
So looking at their revenue numbers and just doing like basic price to sales based on the values, if Uber's valued at 120 billion and they're earning, let's be generous and say 11 billion in revenue a year, Their price to sales is 10.9. Lyft at 15 billion in value and 1.8 billion in revenue is 8.3. Compare that to, you know, your standard NASDAQ stocks, like Facebook is 9.4. So in between those two, Amazon 4.2, Alphabet 6.3, NASDAQ 100 is 3.5. So really, both of the companies are expensive for what they're earning, or what their revenue is. But Lyft is cheaper. Uber at its valuation would be up there with the highest price to sales ratios in America. So I think the fact that Lyft is growing at, you know, 70% a year annualized, it's going this year from 1 billion to expected 1.8, like it's not slowing down, and it's a little bit cheaper, I really like. And then in terms of its future prospects, I think it is notable that Alphabet and Lyft have partnered, and Alphabet, I think, invested something like $1 billion in Lyft. And if you've been following Waymo at all, the self-driving company that Alphabet has invested a lot of money in, they're steaming ahead with their self-driving technology. There may be a nice little three-way partnership that emerges here if Lyft has the pickup technology and all of that, the platform, and then Waymo, who's Alphabet's other partner, has the technology, and if they come together, and they're ahead of where Uber are with self-driving technology, there might be big things in the future there. So I think it's a little bit cheaper, it's growing a little bit faster, and the upside may be more. So for those three reasons, I'm going the scrappy underdog. Lift. Yeah. Well, to be honest, when the IPO happens, I'll probably be like you and just steer clear, but there's no fun in saying that.
No, it's not why we're here.
I think the really interesting thing to see will be that at this stage, Lyft is going first. They reckon March or April next year, and then Uber will be in the second half of next year.
Yeah.
So like, will investors just wait and see and not touch Lyft and wait for Uber? Or will Lyft's IPO go really well, and will Uber's pre-IPO value skyrocket, and will everyone want to get in? Or will Lyft tank, and then will Uber's IPO be scuttled? It's a really interesting dynamic for these. It would be like if Coles and Woolies both
had an
IPO in the same year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and both similar pool of investors. So yeah, comparisons will definitely be made, and I'm actually really excited for it. Some of the biggest IPOs that we've probably seen since Alibaba in 2014. So it's going to be massive.
Yeah, well, there were some big ones this year. You know, you had what, Spotify and
Not 120 billion though.
Yeah, true. That is true.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be interesting. Nice. Either way, I'll keep using their services. So
yeah, same.
That's one thing.
Love it. All right, Ren. Well, let's mark that down for something to watch for both of us. 2019. I've gone Uber. You've gone Lyft. But I think we've both agreed that in reality, we're probably not going to go either of them to begin with. We'll see how it all plays out, as I'm sure a lot of other investors will. So this was a fun episode. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully we can edit it down so it's not such of a nightmare at the start of the episode. We've got five companies that neither of us have heard or read about before that we're going to do some research, and then we'll release that over the Christmas period. So stay tuned. If you were wondering what Renners was talking about with price to sales, we'll probably address that a bit when we discuss our book of the month, which is the little book that still beats the market by Joel Greenblatt. So don't worry if that was confusing for you, as we will definitely address that. Unless you have anything else to add, Ren, we'll leave it there and talk next week.
Nah, sounds good.
Equity Mates and the people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. This is general advice only. Please speak to a financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your individual situation.